Well, the St. Michael Center aims to help homeless veterans transition to civilian living by providing apartments and career finding services. Joining us to talk about these new Homes for the Brave on a 24-acre campus opening this month near the VA Medical Center on Kansas City's east side are Eric Verzola. He's the director of Veteran Services Catholic Charities of Kansas City and St. Joseph. Eric, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
Art Fillmore is also back. He's a St. Michael's Veterans Center board member. He's a lawyer with Levy and Craig. He spent two decades in pursuit of a campus just like this one. Art, welcome back to you.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Well, opening this month, Art, this has to be a great moment for you.
It's pretty much a dream come true.
Yeah.
I have been hoping to see something like this happen since we started the stand down in 1992. So for 22 years, we've been hoping to see something like this, and it's finally going to happen on Monday. I'm thrilled to death.
What took you so long, Art? 22 years. You just a slow mover.
For me, that's just for me, that's an average week. But it's hard to find the right group to put together to make it happen, and when Catholic Charities and Yarko Development came together, and it was a perfect team. And then we involved the city and the state and a lot of people. It's a large coalition that made this happen. So it didn't happen easily. It didn't happen quickly, but it happened very well.
So you had this dream 20 years ago. You were thinking what? What caused you to think that back in the early 90s, and what was going through your mind?
Well, we did a stand down, which is a 2 or 3 day event for homeless veterans in June and in November. And I could see the change that could happen in a short period of time when these vets were offered services and clothing and a new way of life. But it was a Band-Aid. It was a 3 day event. And so I was going, what happens the other 362 days out of the year? When they go back out in the streets, they go back to the same way. And I knew back then that the only solution was permanent housing accompanied by supported services on site. So basically, they could have a year-round stand-down.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what St. Michael's is, plus. It's got the housing. It's got the supportive services. It's got a community behind it. It's a fantastic project.
Now, Eric, is there anywhere else in the country, any other facility like this one?
I don't believe there is. The permanent housing piece, I think, is what makes it a unique, and the supportive services, the wraparound services that we will provide for these veterans makes it unique. There are similar places. There was a place in Omaha that we did visit that was similar, but you know, when you look at the whole nation, they're few and far between.
You know, a lot of folks are out there looking at thinking about this and thinking, well, it's finally about time that we treat these folks the right way. Would that sound right to you, Eric?
That's, as we say in the artillery, that's steel on target. As a veteran myself, you know, it's something that you hope for. You know, I'm a young veteran. It's hard sometimes to realize that I am a veteran, but I am, and I look at the challenges a lot of our veterans have, and it is about time. It's what they deserve, and I think St. Michael's is right where it needs to be.
Art, too long in coming?
Yeah, it really is. This is a need that's existed for a long, long time, and it's a very difficult project. I mean, it's hard to – for years I was looking at, like, GSA buildings, but they had handicap access, they had asbestos, and they had no budget. So it took a combination of people with the ability to do a tax credit program, syndicate it, sell it to our partner, U.S. Bank. We're building the whole thing with equity, with cash. I mean, there's no debt on the property. So it's, in that sense, it's a completely unique project.
And the cash is coming from where, Art?
We went to the state and applied for state and federal tax credits from the Missouri Housing Development Corporation. We received them. We then syndicated those and sold them in a partnership to U.S. Bank. They gave us $10 million cash. That's how we built the first building. The city gave us a community development block grant to help us with the service area. The city went through an RFP process, gave us 23 acres of land. So it took a lot of people wanting this to happen to make it happen.
I was going to say, when you talk about 22 years and you were sort of jokingly flogging yourself a little bit, there were an awful lot of moving parts here to make this thing come to life.
Oh, yeah. It's an incredible number of moving parts, but I think everybody had the same desire. They knew the need was there. They knew the vets deserved it. And pretty much people did what people do in Kansas City. We locked arms and said, let's figure out how to do this. And we finally did it.
Yeah, what a neat deal. Well, Eric, this project's first phase is opening this Monday, as Art said a couple of minutes ago. When can we expect to see construction of the second and third phases here opening up?
I understand the second phase will start fall of this year. with the next phase about the same time, that time frame with the following year, about the fall time frame with third phase.
And the first phase then encompasses what exactly?
We have 58 one-person rooms. It includes a fitness room, a classroom, a community area, and each of the three floors that the current first phase, which again is complete and opened, opens up next Monday, has all the things those veterans need. They have laundry on laundry facilities on each floor, and they're just beautiful rooms. So we're really excited about this.
You know, Art, I'm sitting here envisioning this thing opening up Monday. You know, you almost want to be inside one of those rooms when one of those longtime homeless vets walks in for the first time and realizes that he or she has a home finally for the rest of their lives. Right?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a very touching moment.
My goodness.
When they walk in the building. It's a beautiful building. I mean, it's spectacular. And as Eric said, the rooms are very nice. They're actually one-bedroom apartments. They have a dishwasher, an oven, a refrigerator. They're fully furnished. They actually have granite cabinets or tops in the kitchen and the bathroom. They're very, very attractive. These look like higher-end market-rate apartments, and these vets deserve that, but they get it at a very low cost. We've got HUD vouchers, which will pay their rent for at least the first year. So really, they're in there with a lot of people who want to help them and at no financial obligation themselves. We hope eventually they'll get a job, earn their way out of that voucher, start paying rent, and allow another vet to have that voucher.
Eric Verzola, I'm wondering about the transition from a life on the streets to living in one of these very nice apartments. Do you anticipate that some of the vets might struggle with that a little bit? And how are you going to deal with all that?
Sure. I do believe that that transition is going to be a challenge for some of them.
Yeah.
And the way we are going to address that is, again, why the Catholic Charities side of it is the supportive services, the wraparound services that's going to be there. We have a bunch of great folks who want to help us and who are part of the partnership, Wounded Warrior Project, Team Red, White, and Blue, the Knights of Columbus, Jewish Family Services, right. Metro Lutheran Ministries, the YMCA. There's a bunch of us, Legal Aid of Western Missouri. The VA vocab rehab folks are going to be there. The University of Missouri has a group of folks called the Research Center for Human-Animal Interaction, kind of the guide dog kind of thing, and they even have horses that they're talking about in terms of therapy for these folks.
Man, you guys have been working hard, Art. Yeah. I get it. Okay, I'm getting the picture.
So that's where I think we're going to address that challenge of transitioning from life without a home and now having this market rate type place. And it's not barracks. It's like
that's a nice one-bedroom apartment.
It's not institutionalized housing. It's really nice, a really nice place.
In this first phase, Eric, you were saying we'll house roughly 50, you were
58.
Saying?
58. We'll have 58.
Phases 2 and 3, roughly the same number?
59, phase 2, and then at the end of the day, after all the phases, there will be about 180 rooms. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a pretty amazing feat when we look at it. I mean, just this Monday, we're going to say how incredible it is with this beautiful building.
And I gather you have 58 people waiting to move in.
We have a waiting list, actually.
I was just going to go there next. I mean, to what extent is this incredible new facility going to actually meet the need, Art?
Well, I mean, it only touches a portion of the homeless population, but the people are carefully vetted for both their need and also their ability and desire to change their life. And, I mean, some of these people are literally going to go from sleeping under a bridge one night to this beautiful facility a day or two later.
How did you pick the folks who are going to be living here?
A lot of agencies such as Salvation Army and the VA referred the residents to us. We then went through a vetting process through YARCO, which does this for other elderly and low-income housing. The people were interviewed. They were carefully selected. And so we verified their need. We verified their service. We verified basically their desire to change their life. So we're touching that portion of the homeless veterans population which wants to have a change.
Yeah. Can you profile one of these individuals, maybe without giving names? What kind of person are you going to be seeing living at the new St. Michael Center here?
Primarily, they're Vietnam-era veterans in the first phase. they can either be living in a car right now at a parent. They can be living at one of the shelters. They can be living under a bridge. They don't have the same bed to go to every night. That's what defines the homeless.
And typically, their lives went off the rails. Is there a typical story? I mean, can you tell us why they've gotten to these places?
Well, for a lot of the Vietnam veterans that came home, they couldn't talk about their experience because nobody wanted to hear it. So they kept it inside. They developed post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. That leads to dysfunctionality of family, of lifestyle. It leads to alcoholism, drug addiction, and that's a downward spiral. And that's a very hard spiral to reverse. And we found at Stand Down that if somebody's really wanting to get there, it may take four or five tries. Maybe they'll do it. But in 3 days, the chances are pretty small. At a place like this, day in and day out, 24/7, they're going to have people there on site who want to help them. Eventually, we're going to have a 10,000-square-foot service building. This is going to be a beautiful campus. Eric referenced like the Pets for Vets. They'll take rescue dogs. They'll be training those dogs to come back to normal lives. That vet will have helped another animal, another creature, to normal life, and it's very therapeutic for both the vet and the dog. Hmm. Equine therapy has been shown to be very effective with PTSD, so eventually we hope to have the horses there too.
You know, I'd love to have a couple of these vets on the show sometime once they've adjusted and moved in and bring them back, and what a great conversation that would be. If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking about a new Center for Homeless Vets opening up Monday, the St. Michael's Center. It's called this new Homes for the Brave. It's near the VA Medical Center on Kansas City's east side. Our phone number here to join our conversation, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Susan from Independence, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good to have you, Susan.
I just am delighted that this program is being finally coming to fruition. I just didn't know if they had used up in St. Joe. There's a wonderful center that's been started by InterServe, and it's called St. Jude Judah House. And they did the same thing, it sounds like, that you have done. It's got a community business, federal government, state, I don't know about state funds, but anyway, to put it together. And it's a level, like there's a facility for overnight and only overnight, but then there's a facility for people who want to, you know, make progress in getting off the streets. And they've really done a wonderful job of making services available to people as they're ready. And so it's not just for vets, it's for the homeless. But they work closely with the police department so that the police even know the people by name.
Are you familiar with these folks, Art?
Yes, I've heard of it. The difference is we're not going to do transitional housing. For people who move in there,
there are facilities sort of in Kansas City, Restart and some of the other places that actually do transitional. But I just think it's great that you're finally able to do this. And the amazing thing to me is all sorts of issues of social justice. It's like we keep getting little pieces of it right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then the funding goes away and we get another little piece right and the funding goes away.
Right.
And it's so sad that if you can get something that's really going to be, as you use the word, wraparound, that really gives the person the opportunity to make the change.
It's wonderful. I appreciate that, Susan. That's exactly what you're talking about here.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, will veterans' families, Eric, and their spouses be allowed to stay with them, or how is all that going to work?
This first phase, it's for single, but actually we do have a couple.
One couple.
There's a couple. I think the size of the room this first phase is going to limit us for that. But I think further down the road, I think in the third phase, we're looking at family homes, correct, Art?
Yeah, well, we're actually looking at two bedrooms, some in the second phase.
Second phase, we'll have two bedrooms.
And eventually we hope to have family housing, including a separate little village of cottage-style housing in phase three or four for families. Interestingly, there is a lot of permanent housing for families of homeless veterans, much more so than individuals. So we're addressing what is really the most critical need right now, which is the individual homeless vet.
Mm-hmm. All this happens on Monday.
Correct.
What time's the first vet move in, Art?
The first vet will move in next week, right after the opening. We're opening at 8:30 on Monday. The address is 3838 Chelsea, and it's open to the public. We'll have the mayor. We may have the governor. We'll have some political folks who've helped us out. And it'll be a real welcome home for these vets. That's going to be fantastic.
And this site was selected how? How did you wind up in the location that you wound up at?
Actually, it was suggested to us by City Manager Troy Schulte. We were visiting with him about another site, and he said, we've got a reclamation project. It used to be the Holy Temple apartments, and why don't you go through an RFP process? And we did. We had three competitors who were in the for-profit mode, and we were awarded the ground by the city and through a fairly complicated process.
Yeah.
Also, but it's 23 acres of very nice land.
I mean, should it have been this difficult, given the cause, given the whole purpose here, Art?
Well, I think if it weren't this difficult, it would have happened before now, because yeah. I know I've been thinking about it for a long time, and it's the needs. To go from ground up is really the way to do it, because you can build for your need instead of trying to fit square pegs and round holes, which we were doing for years. So this is a project that we can build for these people at this time, and that's the best way to do it.
So again, Monday morning is the magic time.
Correct.
Eric, what are you personally most excited about when it comes to the opening of the center next week?
For me personally, it's having a place for these veterans. The way I see this, or how I can envision this, is something. Again, I'm a veteran. I retired in 2012 with a deployment to Iraq. I can almost envision the same feeling I got when I returned from my 14-month deployment, in terms of a look and the feeling that's in these guys' gut, is that they're back home. I mean, that was one of the most powerful experiences for me as an Army veteran, is getting back home. My family was there waiting. You know, the plane landed, and I knew they were there. And I can kind of translate this when I think about these guys. I'm thinking about these guys are coming home.
Yeah.
They're having a place. And I know that feeling, that pit of your stomach, is something you can't describe, but it's something there where you know that you're where you need to be.
How did you wind up working for Catholic Charities? Where did that come from in your life?
I retired in 2012. I actually had a job with a for-profit retail place, corporate headquarters, and it didn't work out for me. I'll tell you, I was a public affairs officer for the Army.
Yeah.
And I was writing press releases for KIAs, MIAs, tough things like that.
Yeah.
I come back and I'm writing press releases for the next fall fashion for toddlers or something like that.
Yeah.
And the other communications jobs I had. When I found this, and this opened up, and I'm going to get to help veterans, people that were who are like me and who have my background, I couldn't say no to that.
I want to thank Art Fillmore for coming in. He's on the board of St. Michael's Veterans Center Board there. And Eric Verzola, the Director of Veteran Services for Catholic Charities. What a great cause. What an interesting story. Come back and visit with us again with a couple of vets sometime, Art.
Love to.
Okay. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.